Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. This episode is brought to you by Visor. Do you manage your school district's Chromebooks? If you're tasked with keeping track of Chromebook repairs, loaners, swap outs, and warranties, you need Visor. Visor is a cloud-based Chromebook management solution designed specifically for school districts. Visor seamlessly integrates with the Google Admin Console and your student information system, simplifying Chromebook one-to-one programs. With Visor, you can easily see which student has which Chromebook, manage repairs, and even remotely disable lost or stolen devices while notifying parents, all in one click. To find out how Visor can help your school manage Chromebooks and to lock in 20% off, head over to visor.cloud/unboxed. That's visor.cloud/unboxed, or just click the link in the show notes. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, joined here today by Gabriel.
I'm here.
And Robbie.
What's up? Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and count, but it's been at least a year.
You're just next to me now.
I know.
We're just best friends. Just, you know.
You're my best friends.
Podcast pals.
You're just gonna look over here. We're just going to be holding hands.
It wouldn't be the first time.
It's okay if it's like a normal, if it's the interlaced.
Yeah. Gonna,
Joe and I like to try to embarrass Robbie when we travel. Sometimes he just disowns us.
There have been piggyback rides.
Yep.
There have been.
Airport. That was great.
Yep. Good times. Mm. Good times. Robbie's over here double caffeine drinking.
Yeah,
just went to Topgolf last night. Yeah. Just me and a buddy, and he's like, me and this guy are golfing friends. Like, that's what we're friends about. And so when we go to play golf, like, it's serious.
It's
and
all
so
in.
We played for 3.5 hours.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Yes. So I woke up sore from golf this morning. I was like, and I play golf all the time.
Yeah.
And I was sore. And I was like,
Justin's cool like that. Like, he'll relate on any level. Like, he's my brisket buddy. Because like, when I talk to him, that's all we talk about is like smoking
Justin
stuff.
Justin knows no strangers.
Yeah. That's funny.
Robbie came in the other morning and we were coming in here to play, do our little morning round of golf. And I haven't been to Kroger in a while, so we didn't have any water. He's like, well, guess I'm going in on Mountain Dew. He's like, 7:45 in the morning, coffee, Mountain Dew, golf, let's go.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
That's right, because we were out of water, We didn't have any drinking water, so it was just like...
I'm not drinking out of tap.
No, no tap water.
Can't do it.
Not in this county.
Yeah.
No, especially not E-Town, not downtown.
Yeah, quick shout out to Fresh Roasted Coffee. You guys are sipping on some now. We are, I don't even know, were we anniversary now? Are we all in on anniversary? Yeah, have we gone through the other
stuff?
Until
they say they ain't got it no more.
Yeah.
I think we're just, it's just good.
It's just good stuff.
Solid.
It's just good stuff. Yeah, and if you want a limited, not limited necessarily, special edition
exclusive.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah, special edition bag, Chrome Unbox bag. Just click the link in the show notes. It's
or
great.
Go to chromeunbox.com/coffee.
Easy. Bada bing, bada boom.
Coffee.
Make
easy,
it simple.
Easy peasy. Paul, we are happy to report, was not looking too good after the Thanksgiving break because I may or may not have left him in this dark room since Wednesday of last week. Wednesday through Monday apparently is not good for plants.
Yeah, and
in
especially
a dark room.
These types of plants.
You know, who knew?
It's
like they
he wasn't looking real good.
To, like, photosynthesize things.
He's perked right back up. He's back to normal.
Well, he went from that, and I was like, oh, let's put him in the windowsill.
Yeah.
And it was super sunny, and Joe's like, it's not supposed to have direct sunlight.
I did the same thing when we first got him, and Andrew was like, oh, these you're not supposed to have, and so, yeah.
These things are amazing. They'll be on, like, their last leg, and then you find the right place in your home and the right amount of water, and next thing you know, they're literally wrapping around your living room.
Yeah, It's
bazillion little fellows.
Paul's back. He's doing good. He's doing quite well. Okay, let's dig into the topic of this week, and we're just gonna dive in. What I feel like, right? You're looking at it
just,
now.
I saw Ron's face out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, okay,
yeah. I was distracted.
Is there anything cheeky in there?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. He's tweeting about it.
Yeah, they said that their press release is going out tomorrow, but we get first dibs at writing it. So
okay,
oh,
so we'll have it out before the podcast, one way or another.
Well, go ahead. Let's throw it in there.
I don't know what to say about it. I want to know what Ron's tweet says now.
Yeah. Well, let's say what it is, I guess. Yeah.
So it's called
not Songbird, because that's what I was calling it the other day.
Sunbird.
Pontiac Sunbird.
Pontiac Sunbird.
So this company has been on us for a little bit about this presentation that they're going to give and how they're going to basically unveil a multi-messaging platform.
Yeah.
That includes iMessage. And so if Android users can just, you know, log in.
Green
and
bubble,
use,
blue bubble, baby.
Use iMessage. And so my immediate reaction to this was, how are they going to do that?
How will it get shut down?
And why hasn't it been done before?
Right.
And listening to what part I did come in on, I was out for a little bit when I came in. Like, it didn't sound like they were giving any technical answers. It was just like, trust us, it's fine. Like, it'll work. And, you know, it's not built on anything. Like, he kept saying, it's not hacky. It's not done that way. We did it the right way and stuff. And so I'm like, okay. But I just don't, like, with messaging, man, you're asking some people to really trust what you're doing.
Yeah.
And to not give really clear answers to how it's being done. I don't know.
I mean, how long did Google try to get everyone on board on RCS?
Right.
And they're Google. And this
people
company.
Like, is it end-to-end encrypted? I don't know.
Yeah.
Why were we wondering if Ron was in there specifically?
So Joanna got the invite, and I went ahead and signed up too. So we got in the Zoom call early, and Robbie wasn't here. Joe was over there editing, and all I heard from Joe is, man, this sounds like a cluster, because they were in the Zoom call. And I'm not, this isn't a dig on them. This is just what happened. These are facts. They were in the Zoom call before the meeting started, talking about how they were going to run the meeting, and it didn't feel very well. Didn't feel like this is something that they had
really
done before.
Should have been doing that
before.
Behind the scenes without reporters listening.
And the marketing, they shouldn't have let us in. I clicked join at like 12 minutes till it was supposed to start, and they just let me in. And the marketing lady was telling the CEO, Joanna Romero's in here, and then Gabriel Bringer's in here. And he's like, okay, who's that? And she said, oh, Joanna. And she really touted Joanna. It was pretty cool.
It was cool.
Like, Joanna, she's a Latino writer for Chrome Unbox, but she's a hybrid blogger because she does a YouTube channel too. And then out of nowhere, she goes, oh, and Ron was with Ars Technica. They are huge. Just like, you realize
like
they,
you don't,
we can hear
yeah,
you,
we,
right?
No, they don't. No, they did not.
No,
glad they
absolutely
didn't say something.
They did not.
God. Whatever. Anyway, so here's
shout out to Ron.
So Joanna sent us a message, said, well, I guess Ron was there. And I was like, this could be good or bad. So I clicked it.
You never know with Ron.
Yeah, Ron can get salty. If Sunbird's iMessage on Android app isn't a scam, the presentation sure made it seem like one. They filtered all questions through a moderator and blocked Zoom chat. They didn't read any obvious hard questions or give technical details, terrible presentation, huge red flags. These people have sent me 10 emails in the last 20 days about their stupid presentation. So if I'm bitter, embarrassing PR that was disrespectful, waste of my time. Also, shout out to the guy's low battery smoke detector that was going off the entire time. That was great. Yeah.
I didn't hear the low battery smoke detector.
That's weird. I didn't hear that.
Maybe it was Ron's.
Yeah,
his neighbor.
Ron's like, damn, it was my.
He did it. He did it to sabotage.
If you've ever watched any like they do a Bitcoin conference every. If you've ever seen any of these, like when cryptocurrency first started to blow up, not Bitcoin, but like this current generation of
Dogecoin.
Binance and stuff, where it's all, you know, fast transactions, low overhead and everything. It feels like one of these
ICOs.
Yeah, FTX. It feels like one of these ICOs where they're like, we've got the greatest cryptocurrency ever made, and we've done this and this. Don't worry about how it's working. We've got it. Everything's covered. You guys are going to be rich. You know, that's what it felt like, and I don't know. It was...
Well, my one comment was I was editing, but the headphones I have are open back, so I can still kind of hear a little bit. And
he has selective hearing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, hey, Joe, what's up? And he's like,
So, if I mean, I'm in the zone,
I don't hear anything coming out of your headphones. You can hear me.
When I'm in the zone, I
he's like, I can't hear you. Then how did you just say I can't hear you?
I don't know.
What?
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
I get it. No, it's fine.
I get in the zone and I don't hear. Anywho, so I could hear a little bit of the presentation. And as someone who's done a lot of presentations for the marketing company we worked for, and we've had to do some presentations, like when you have a moderator that is like queuing up questions to the people that are they're running the meeting, I guess, and they're just these. So you're telling me that Sunbird. Sunbird is basically like the da 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 da, and they're like, yeah, exactly, and I'm like. It just felt weird. Yeah. It sounded weird to
and
me.
That,
just
I mean,
a little
the
bit
CEO
that I
kept saying, "Oh, you know, we answer the hard questions with the VC guys, venture capitalists, and everything." He said, "We're totally fine with you know doing one on ones and follow ups, and that's fine if they'd be willing to discuss that." But I get the feeling based on because we had the press materials before the meeting. I really get the feeling that they are not going to. There's not going to be transparency on how they're doing this, which to me is a huge red flag because if they're not giving any transparency on how they're doing it, do you really think Apple's going to let them keep doing it?
Like,
do you really want to give them access to all your messaging?
So platform? Are they basically intercepting and relaying through servers or how are they doing
yeah,
this?
So don't what, store anything. Yeah, so what they're saying is it's no log, they don't store anything, and it's not, he said, their developer said, it's not hacky, we're literally using, he never used the term API, but that kind of is what it sounds like. It sounds like we're using, you know, the actual company's API to serve this, because he said it's all dynamic. If WhatsApp up, because WhatsApp's on there, iMessage, text messaging, SMS,
no RCS as of right
no
now.
No RCS. Okay. He said that they're working with Google to try to do it or whatever. But he said if those platforms update, like he said, if tomorrow WhatsApp did text message verification instead of QR code verification, then it would just update because they're using their actual stuff. Right. So I'm like, that doesn't sound right either. But I mean, last time I checked, Apple's not handing out the APIs to iMessage and saying, hey, embed this in your product.
Right. Nobody.
Otherwise, it would have been done already.
Yeah. So I have a hard time believing in Upstart somehow. Just
I got to call Ron.
Figured out a way around it and that it's going to sustain. Like,
Yeah,
because
when he was saying all that, he was saying, you know, with WhatsApp and with you know, text messaging and what was the other one of the encrypted, not Telegram.
Signal. Yeah, which is a big one.
He kept saying those. He wasn't saying iMessage when he was saying that.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause
it has to be a hacky type of thing.
Yeah, because here's the thing. We were excited about it because, I mean, we're old WebOS guys. When they said unified messaging, the thought of unified messaging.
I loved it.
I mean, that gets me excited. And if it worked, but that's going to take the Samsungs and the Googles and the Apples and everyone else getting on board and saying, hey, and the Facebooks and everybody else saying, hey, we're going to do a unified messaging. We're going to allow our stuff to be used in a unified messenger. This does not feel like that.
Yep.
Because, I mean, this guy is a CEO. He's started some other companies. I looked at his LinkedIn. I've never heard of his other companies or whatever. But if you're telling me that some smaller company that I've never heard of out of Manhattan went to Apple and Apple just signed off on this when Google can't get.
Because this will undo. Like, if this is all completely on the up and up, like, let's. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, let's say that this. Let's
90
assume
seconds to have a thought experiment here. This is completely on the up and up. They're doing everything the right way, and Apple's like, "Hey, we love this. This is great." Well, guess what? The reason that Apple hasn't made an iMessage app for Android or adopted RCS or done anything basically to make iMessage easier for Android and Apple people to work together is because they like their ecosystem lock-in. They like the upper hand it gives them. It's exactly what it is. It's nothing different. Everyone knows it. They don't ever have to say that. Everyone knows it's ecosystem lock-in. That's why they do it. So in this fantasy land where they're doing everything on the up and up, this will undo that.
Right. 100%. Because Apple does not monetize iMessage. Apple monetizes the iOS ecosystem.
Right.
The hardware and all the other stuff that comes along
services
with it.
Services that come along with it.
If Apple... Apple is perfectly capable of putting iMessage in the Play Store. Yes. They could do it and charge $10 for it, and people would probably buy it, yeah. and they'd make a lot of money. They have not done that. There's no way that they have freely said, sure,
hey, little you guys company, go ahead and do this. This sounds great. You guys go to
it. So not and that's it's not to say nobody. that what they're doing is illegal. I'm not saying that at all, because I mean AirMessage and stuff like that does this, but you have to physically own an Apple device
yeah.
to set up as a server, and that very well may be what they're doing. They may be running some sort of server virtualization where they're running some sort of virtualized Apple software. That maybe that's what they're doing. They talked like that wasn't it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So I don't know how else they're doing.
Because like it makes me wonder how in the world would they scale this.
Yeah, I don't like know if that
you
get, either.
If you had 10 million people sign up,
like big all server their, farm in Manhattan.
Up like, there. Is there really you're going to be able to really scale this thing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Really? I don't know. I feel like
and
they're not collecting money.
Yeah, in the foreseeable like future, free because free. That's what he said. We're not, you know. He said this is not a money maker.
Unless they're
for
getting
us.
Your stuff,
we're selling a bunch of your personal information.
And
we're not storing anything.
I need to go back and let and. There was a spot in there where he said something about data, and I was like, but then the CEO said, you know, down the road, would we like to make some money off of this? Absolutely. He said, but right now, we're not doing this to make money. So I don't know.
It's weird.
It's
super weird.
I've seen a lot of schemes.
This doesn't seem like the most straightforward way to make money.
Yeah.
Unless they're hooked up with somebody that says, hey, the data that these people give you will pay you good money for it.
But that's the thing. There shouldn't be any data.
Yeah. Right, but that's just based on what they're saying.
Right.
Because they haven't exactly said what
they're
doing.
And that's why I just, the developer got a good vibe off him. I did.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying that they're up to anything nefarious. I'm just not getting a sincere vibe off of this project.
Hmm.
I'm not.
Well, don't know.
We'll have to report back.
It's too good to be true.
Yeah.
But I'm moving up the wait list, so I'll let you know if my identity gets stolen.
Oh, Lord.
He's going to get abducted.
So
between
next
that
week on the
my FIDE tab, I'm done. I'm done for it.
Toast.
Gabe will not be joining us on the Chromecast next week. We can already make that assumption. Gabe, it was great knowing you, bud.
Time to start going by my government name.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, well, let's talk about a couple devices before we go into the break. So the main thing that we wanted to cover today is our list of best Chromebooks you can go buy right now in 2022.
Yep.
So this isn't necessarily the exact list that we've done before. Last year, we ended up having like one or two devices that had been launched right at the end of the year. But I think we still called it like, these are the best Chromebooks of this year.
Yeah.
But this
did
year
we
was...
we have older devices?
I thought we did. Was it the original Duet that was still on the list that still won technically the year before?
Yeah, so it was ones that were available. Yeah, we did look at that.
Yeah.
That's right.
But anywho, point is, this year we really wanted to make it clear that there are a few devices on here that were released in 2021.
Right.
And they're still great devices you can go buy right now. So the whole idea being, rather than putting this list together and having a winner in each category and breaking them down and that sort of thing, because we had normally done a, you know, affordable, mid-tier, and high premium. And rather than breaking them down like that, we just said, here's 12 great devices you can go buy right now, starting from low to high.
And that came organically, too, by just going, okay, if we're going to do it this way,
let's start
thinking about the devices that we like. And if somebody were to walk up to you and say, hey, what Chromebook do I get right now? And you know, they gave you kind of a price range and some stuff they're looking for. What devices fall on that list for all, you know, the wider span of people? And so those are the devices that started showing up here. The ones that I happily recommend that I've reviewed and said, like, this was great. This was a great experience. And if it goes on sale, like, man, you're going to buy this and love it, you know, instead of... to be frank, like dealing with especially the lower price, because it's interesting because we got to start thinking about MSRP versus sale prices, and that gets really tough. Because I mean, right now, we might as well be called Chromebook Deal Unboxed. Like that's like what's happening right now. It's craziness, and so like to act like devices should be categorized by their MSRP is a little silly. But it's like, well, that's the only sticking thing we've got. But
because the sales aren't. You know, forever.
Not always, but some of them feel like they're on sale more often than not. And I don't know. So that stuff gets confusing. And so when you start talking about Chromebooks that MSRP for $300 or $350 and under, I'm like, There's only a couple that, in the consumer space.
Especially if we were to say in 2022.
Right. Right. And the other ones are just regurgitations of EDU Chromebooks. Like, yeah. It's the same basic Chromebook over and over again. And I'm like, I don't recommend those to people ever. Like, I don't, I'm like, just wait a minute. And one of these better Chromebooks is going to go on sale to that price range.
Were there any devices released this year that retail for under $300?
Like MSRP?
Like you can go to Walmart or Best Buy.
I mean, I'm sure there's an EDU or I don't know. Some of the EDU ones are like $300 or $400 though, too.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you're paying for the ruggedness and the testing and whatever. But yeah. It's just that got weird. And then on the high end, there wasn't much of anything. You know, there's like you have the HP, the Elite, you know, and then it's like Framework.
Framework, yeah. You know?
But that's not all bloated either. It's all in the middle.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden we had this kind of fat-bellied thing going on, and it's like, well, this doesn't, like, to try to break these into categories and pick a winner feels it just doesn't feel like something I would do if someone came and asked me.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't be like, what's you know, here's your price category and here's the number one. Like, it's like, let's think about this, and then if we give you a wide enough swath of Chromebooks, then you can just be looking for all those Chromebooks and then maybe you never know which one's going to go on sale, because they're going to keep going on sale. It's not like there are more sales than normal right now. But I would say only by a factor of two at this point.
Oh, like, yeah. It's not like
there
it's...
always our Chromebook.
Yeah, Best Buy almost every week, if not every few days, has a what we would consider a flagship or a premium Chromebook gets discounted by $100 or $200 every single week.
And so it's like, if that's going to be the case, then breaking these up into strange categories for the sake of organization...
Right.
Just, I don't know. It just didn't feel like the right thing to do anymore. And so this might be the way we do it moving forward. We might change it up again next year, but that's what we did this year. And so as we kind of curated the list, the number kind of organically just came to 12. I was going to do 10, and there were two on there that I just, two more that we added that I'm just like, I love, like, every Chromebook on this list I like this year, because I would recommend all of them. Like, I would happily say, hey, if this is on sale and this fits your needs, like, if I have to have a touchscreen and this one I like doesn't have a touchscreen, then it doesn't fit your needs.
How cool is that? Because you think, like, 2-3 years ago, it was like there was a handful, two or three devices were like, if I had to go buy a Chromebook today with my own money, I would have to choose between these three. But now it's like, there's a lot. It would be hard for me. If you handed me $1,200 and told me to go buy a Chromebook, it would be hard for me to pick the one I want right now.
Yeah.
It really just would.
And for me, like, the ideal Chromebook, there are a couple that are really close to it. But it's funny, like, even though I have this idea of what the ideal Chromebook is, and then something like one of the Chromebooks I'm going to talk about that I put on my top list doesn't match those specs. It doesn't, but I love it. So I don't know. Part of it's in just using them and the experience, and, you know, it's not spec sheets anymore.
And that's what we always talk about, and it's the reason we unbox and we review devices, is because you can look at a spec sheet, you can look at a, you know, a landing page for a device and get an idea of maybe what it's going to be like.
Sure.
But until you get it in front of you and use it and spend some time with it, you're not going to get the full essence of that device, you know?
It's like last year with the CX9. I mean, it was such a weird device to review, because it's like, it checks almost every box. It's not a convertible, if you have a convertible, but, like, everything else it does, you know? Yep. And it just didn't have any charm to it. Like, it was, I don't know. Like,
and it was one that we were all so excited about.
I was more excited about that device than anything.
Yeah.
And I did like it. I used it for a long time.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But honestly, 90% of the time I used it docked.
Yeah.
I didn't use it.
We sent it back, didn't we?
Yeah, we sent it back. But now, is it... up until a couple days ago, you could get it $400 off at Costco. Would I recommend it at $599? Absolutely.
100%. Like, it's 100%. Not like it's a bad device.
It's just, there was just something about it. It had this cold feel to it. It felt cold. It felt like a transformer.
Which is weird. It's like, I guess maybe it's because it's so angular. And weird
that might have been it. Yeah.
What's
it's like the CX5400 that came out quietly and didn't have quite as many specs. It's on our list again this year, too. It should be, because it's an excellent Chromebook.
Yeah.
And it's...
But it was put out last year. Why didn't they? What are they doing this year?
I wrote a whole article about why they should update that Chromebook.
Yeah, like, they really should just refine that thing. It was such a good device.
Do one of these 16x10 screens that a couple others are doing.
Sure.
14-inch, you know, the Acer 714. Put that type of screen in it and stick with everything else you did.
Yeah.
Like, and Acer managed to get that bottom bezel down, by the way, on a convertible Chromebook.
I don't want to hear that excuse anymore. I love the 714. but the 5400 just feels sleeker. I mean, yeah, it's thinner. It's a little more square.
It was stainless, too.
It was, which, you know, that is a drawback for some people. But people that are looking for something to game with or whatever, they're looking at a gaming Chromebook whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's take a quick break for an ad, and we'll come back and talk about a few of these devices.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Visor. Do you manage your school district's Chromebooks? If you're tasked with keeping track of Chromebook repairs, loaners, swap outs, and warranties, you need Visor. Visor is a cloud-based Chromebook management solution designed specifically for school districts. Visor seamlessly integrates with the Google Admin Console and your student information system, simplifying Chromebook one-to-one programs. With Visor, you can easily see which student has which Chromebook, manage repairs, and even remotely disable lost or stolen devices while notifying parents, all in one click. To find out how Visor can help your school manage Chromebooks and to lock in 20% off, head over to visor.cloud/unboxed. That's visor.cloud/unboxed, or just click the link in the show notes. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. Let's dive into a few of these devices. I do want to at least tease the full list so that if you're listening or watching, you might be like, oh, I want to hear some thoughts on that other device.
So you should go watch the video.
Go read the article. I think so. Just read them off.
Do it.
Just gonna do it.
Go for it.
I got a better idea. Just hold your phone up to the camera for like everyone, 2 seconds, and
everyone,
if
everyone,
you want it, you have to go watch the video.
If you want this, stop looking.
That's it. You have to find it and you have to watch it.
All right. So these are ordered lowest to highest kind of
price. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically,
and like, yeah, what you're able to get them for as of now or MSRP.
A little bit of both.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe. So they're not in any order.
So on
kinda, sorta,
starting on order. The more affordable side, Lenovo Chromebook Duet 3.
Of course.
Acer Chromebook 5 14, Lenovo Chromebook Duet 5, Lenovo Chromebook Flex 5i, HP Chromebook X360 14C, Acer Chromebook Vero 514, Acer Chromebook Spin 513, Acer Chromebook 516 GE Gaming Edition, Acer Chromebook Spin 714, Asus, the lone Asus, the poor lone Asus, Asus Chromebook Flip CX5400.
A lone Asus from last year.
From last year. You all just didn't put out a Chromebook. Not our fault.
They did.
It's just didn't like not
the,
good.
The 5601.
Yeah. Oof. Yep.
Not a
which is also their gaming Chromebook.
Two more. Super heavy. Framework Laptop Chromebook Edition. HP Elite Dragonfly.
That's my favorite.
Chromebook.
That's
my to baby. Round out the list. Yep.
The Flex, is that the 2021 edition? Mm. The 11th gen?
Yeah, because that 12th gen Flex is still not anywhere to be found.
Doesn't exist. It's not real. They're just like, we're going to make this. This is our 12th gen.
I wonder
could've
what...
Could have been great. Could have been, but the bottom's real flimsy in the one that we've got. Not a fan of that.
Yeah.
I wonder
how the Duet 3 and Duet 5 sold in comparison to the original, because like the original sold like hotcakes, at least it seemed that way.
It did. It was always on sale and it was available for a while, and it was the only type of its device of its type for a long time.
And do you think
the Duet 3 and 5 are kind of, I think you probably have to put those sales together on those to match the original.
You've got a lot more marketing around this generation too. I just got another email from Snapdragon Insider. They're doing another $100 off coupon in addition to a sale that's going to start, I think, December 12th. So you'll be able to get, if you're a Snapdragon Insider, you'll be able to get the Duet 5 for $279 again, which is insane. So if you guys want one, let me know. Okay, cool.
That's pretty good.
I might have to hook it up.
That's like pretty good.
Or you buy the 3. Either one.
Yeah.
Oh, I did need to try Awesome Golf on the Duet
5. Oh, yeah. We had talked about that. Update.
I did run it on another Chromebook and played just a couple hole or just hit some driving range on it. It does look so much better on our projector than the iPad does.
Yeah.
What'd you have on this morning when you came in before we started playing? You had it like at a 56-yard chip shot on a different...
Oh, it was a GS Pro.
Oh, okay.
So I saw I realized that, sorry, this is a total sidebar, but like last time I checked, they had 130 courses or something. I was like, I wonder where they're at, because I feel like they're publishing courses all the time. They're up to 333 as of yesterday.
Dang.
Like, almost every day there's new courses. When I saw in the new course list in Discord the other day that they added the hay at it, it's a little bitty like chipping par 3 that's attached to Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
And so I was like, ooh, I'm going to load up the hay. And so yeah. It's one of the newer courses. And you can tell, like, these newer ones that they build on that are just, they're just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what it was.
But one other quick thing on golf related, but it's kind of cool. It's Chromebook related. Robbie wrote a cool article about Awesome Golf and how they made some updates to their
app, to their app, specifically to fix things for Chromebooks.
Like, yeah, that's fantastic.
So cool.
Yeah. We love it.
Yeah,
we love it.
That's exciting to see. And you know, I don't want to pat us too much on the back, but there's probably some of us making a video and some content around it that make them go, anybody's using it.
Yeah, developers don't generally ignore communities that support their software. That's just a lot of times they're not aware of the communities
they hadn't thought about their software. Yeah, and so it's a cool sign to see them targeting Chromebooks.
Perfect example. You would think everyone who's a Mac user would know what LumaFusion is, right? Like, you just inherently, like, as a Mac user, you have to sign an agreement or something like that. I think
that's true.
Sold someone on LumaFusion last night who they are sole Apple household and had never heard of it.
Yeah.
It's like, pretty cool.
Add your videos on your iPad.
There you go. Yep. Okay, let's start with, all right, so it save your best for last, I guess. So, like, what's the number one Chromebook that you want? Save that one for last. Let's talk about a couple others that are kind of this list, top of the list for you all.
So I'll save my second. Yeah, I'll do my first of my couple that I'm thinking of. The Spin 513 is just one of my favorites for the price, the stuff you get for it.
It's so thin and light.
Yeah, it's like a refined version. The outside is like refined of the 713 that's been around that people love. The screen's awesome. Keyboard's, you know, okay. But really great glass trackpad, convertible, crazy long battery life. With the 1380 is strong enough that you never think about performance. I love that Chromebook. Like, it's one that when I'm not doing anything else, a lot of times I'll go grab it and use it for stuff. Because I enjoy it. It's a great Chromebook. It's fun to use. USI input's awesome on it too. Like, if I want to test like cursive or something and know that, hey, the hardware here lines up perfectly with like all the USI stuff, I grab the pen and put it on that and really test what the software is trying to do underneath all those layers of hardware and displays and all that kind of stuff. And so I've got an article queued up at some point I'm going to write. Like, I really hope it's someday. I can't find anything I'm tracking, but that somebody will make a 1380 or a 1200 Companio tablet.
Yes.
Like, make a true tablet with that, because it will make the best tablet ink. Well, what I want to say is it'll make the best inking experience that we've had for a Chromebook yet, because while it's fine to write on a convertible, it's okay. Like, there's something about holding, I'm imagining one of the Lenovo Duets
with a 1200 or a 1380
with a pen that works as well as the Spin 513 does, except in a tablet form that I can sit and write on. Like, we need that. We need 100%. That ecosystem. Like, somebody needs to make that thing.
In my interview with Adam King, we'll make sure to link it. When we were talking about the 1200 announcement, he obviously didn't say yes for sure, but he also didn't say no to the idea of a tablet with the 1000 series processor in it.
It'd be so awesome.
It would be so sweet.
I mean, I'd like one with the 828 in it, but I don't feel like the 828 does that much better than the Snapdragon 7C Gen 2.
I think they should look at the success of the Duets and determine. I think that it's selling well enough that I think that's enough to tell them, hey, a premium tablet would do really well.
Yeah.
People really wanted the Pixel Slate to be It wasn't the right time. Now's the right time. So
I've thought about like firing it back up, but our keyboard's jacked. There's a couple keys that don't work on our little keyboard on the Slate. Because it's still got enough hardware in it.
I lug that thing around forever.
Bridge keyboard for it.
But I just like the regular keyboard to work. You know, it's like really.
Yeah.
I'm not testing it to test it. Love it. You know, to be able to open it up and just use it real quick instead of having to pair something to it. But yeah, our keyboard's, I think, just about shot with it. But, you know, like it's not crazy fast, but it's, you know, it's got the same internals as the Pixelbook Go. So it's not terrible.
Yeah.
But it's fast enough that you can really test out some of the tablet stuff and get a good feel for what a tablet with a little bit higher end internals would feel like.
Yeah.
I would say the Companio 1200 and 1380 would
both best this slate, which is crazy to think an ARM processor in a Chromebook now beats something just from a couple years ago. But it definitely would. And it would have the battery to boot, and it could be nice and thin, and I could go on about this.
Yeah.
But, I hope someone does it.
Yeah, really sure, do. Sure. Yeah, going back to the 513, like that's a... What's the price point on that guy these days?
What's it? MSRP is at 650, doesn't it? I think. Or 630.
Have there been sales on it?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I thought
it's gone into the 500s.
I think it was 599, but yeah, it may be six something.
In the $500 range, I'm just saying, like, it's you're getting...
You call it. I think we can call it that. I'm just going to look it up and see where it's at right now.
You're getting this thin... It's like the... Just a slightly toned down version of the 713.
Yeah, just get rid of the fan ports, get rid of the extra slight bit of bulk.
Yeah, and it's...
It's $599, I'm sorry, MSRP. So there's no deal on it right now, but I'm pretty sure it's sold out at Best Buy right now.
It's just one that you know, so often my time I get to spend with devices when I'm filming B-roll, you know, and then having them around the office. But filming B-roll with a device, it's fun because I really do get to sit there and, you know, spend a few hours with it, you know, dedicated and watching back the B-roll of, you can tell, I don't know, this is maybe something I got to work on, but when I'm excited and like I'm into a device and like I'm like, oh my gosh, this is cool. Like I end up getting like
B-roll's better.
Yeah, my B-roll.
Joe comes back here and we don't see him for like 4 hours. Like,
yeah,
bro, you okay?
I just got a lot of great B-roll of that, and I just like as I'm going through and editing the video for the best of, we ended up adding some B-roll for each, which I wasn't going to do at first, but I ended up doing that. But as I was editing the 513 stuff together and grabbing the B-roll shots, I was like, man, that was a cool device.
Yeah.
That one's
still here, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that one's still around. We sent back so many Chromebooks.
I don't think I ever drove that one.
Oh, I love
it. Man.
Probably should, pretty sure I asked. I might have even asked Acer if we could hold on to that one for a little bit.
Yeah.
Can
we lose the returns?
I just love what it signifies for Chrome OS. Like, it's not trying to be the best at everything. But it's in a medium price range, you're getting a lot for your money.
Right.
And a lot of that comes down to the fact that it's using a MediaTek processor, so they can shave that cost down a little bit and add a little bit of other things here and there to make just a great experience. Like, and it's fast enough that you're not sitting and wondering what the octane score is.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Is this thing going to get by? Like,
yeah,
no problem.
No.
Like, hook it in. It did have some issues early on with some of my ports because it didn't have an HDMI.
Oh,
on it.
There
was one of the
USB-C dongles we had wasn't working, or the USB-C wasn't working.
Or something. I don't know what that was about, but probably a driver issue or whatever. But other than that, like having it plugged in, it can run my monitors, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I don't think it'll push 120 hertz to that QHD monitor either. It won't do that. But yeah, I think you got to get like 11th gen i3 and up to do.
Yeah.
For Chrome OS to agree to do that. So, but other than that, I love that Chromebook.
So I know we've already kind of mentioned the tablets, but I do want to bring the conversation back around to those because, you know, I was a little back and forth on kind of both of them, but I'll just speak to someone looking to buy a device and they want a tablet. Like, you know, I love what Lenovo did with the 3 and refining it from the original Duet, and like better kickstand, better case, everything.
All better.
From Robbie said it in his review. Like,
it's a perfect upgrade.
Checks all the boxes for upgrades. And so if somebody wants the kind of more consumer, you know, or consumption device, something that they're going to have around the house.
Compact.
Yeah, something you're going to watch some videos on, social media, that sort of stuff. It's a great device. And then if you want something that is a little bit of a larger screen and something you maybe get a little bit more work done on, the 5 is a great option. So it's like, it was cool that they put out, you know, kind of both options. And I think if you want a tablet, you just got to figure out what exactly you want to do with your tablet.
Yeah, and I remember being like almost, I don't want to say put off, but I remember when they announced the Duet 3 or Duet 5, and I was like,
what? 16x9 tablet?
16x9, 13.3-inch tablet. Like, ooh, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even after the point we got it in the office, I was just like, I don't know about this thing. Like, this is just weird. It feels like they weren't thinking this through. And then I got it and started using it. I was like, It's actually pretty great. Like, I really do like it. I like the screen looks great. It's OLED. You know, the fact that it's wide enough to fit. Like, I didn't realize it until that device that that's the problem with a lot of tablets in your lap is that they're too thin.
Yeah. And so you can't span between your legs.
Keep your wrist like perfectly like this.
I'm going to sit in tight.
Yeah, and it's just awkward. And so it's big enough to sit in your lap and sit on both your legs and stuff.
Yeah, I love ours. We bought one back when the Snapdragon Insiders did the promo the first time, and I got it for my wife, and she uses it just like kickstand, kicked up, whatever, and leaves it on the kitchen counter when she's doing stuff around the house because she watches crime podcasts all day. We had to have a conversation about that last time. I was like, how much of that stuff do you watch? Because anytime we see anything on TV, she's like, oh, watch this. I'm like, you already know.
She's learning.
In case you didn't know, there is a thing called Murderpedia. It's the Wikipedia of murders. And I think she might be like a ghostwriter for them or something. Like, because everything.
She's doing research, actually. Well,
yeah, we watch a lot of true crime stuff.
Start a blog.
You know, she's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I've never heard of this, but you're going to tell me about it, aren't
you? We can fold it into the Unbox Media brand.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway.
Murders Unboxed.
Yeah. Oh,
no. People reboxed.
Oh, wow. Anyway,
sorry, that's
she
bad.
Keeps it, you know, up on the counter or on the coffee table, and she'll put her earbuds in and she'll watch stuff, but then she can get up and walk away and still listen because she usually just watches video podcasts.
Yeah.
So she's the person that watches that. But then if it's there and I need it for something, it's big enough that I can pick it up, and if somebody messages
write an
and
article
need
something
fixed, or I need to write an article real quick and I want to grab my bag. Or I'm not a big tablet like consumption guy, but if I want to watch a YouTube video or just consume something quick, it is great because it's not unwieldy enough that it's fatiguing to hold.
Oh no, it's
I imagine if you
weight.
Sat all day with it, might get a little old.
It
I don't
above
know.
Your head
I've never tried it, but
it is light though.
Yeah, to me, unless you are just sold out on having a smaller, like you're an iPad mini kind of person, to me the Duet 5 it nails it. And I was with Robbie when they first announced it. It was like 13.3 inches. That's big.
Yeah, and I would love to see them redo this tablet in a similar vein. Maybe go like a 16x10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just give it a little bit
more
what
height. HPs would be great if they do a new chip.
That's I was gonna say, what was the HP
12?
Was it a 3x2 or was it the 16?
12.3 inch screen, but it was 3x2.
Okay, so it was a 3x2.
It's the same. Slate
was
3x2 as the Slate. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was 11 something because it was HP 11x2.
Well, yeah, and Slate was 13. Yeah.
It was just 11 inch. It was 11 inch 3x2. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the original X2.
I want to spend a little bit more time with the 5. I might take it home.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm
going to
take it home. I feel like I took it home and it was in the midst of a lot of stuff going on at work, and I didn't like. I needed my Pixelbook Go back, you know. And so like now, I feel like I could take it home and spend a little bit more time with it. The 3, I found myself because I do in the mornings try to read and catch up on the news, but I kept like I find myself still writing some emails and doing some actual work, and I found myself not really loving that on the 3.
Yeah, I feel like on the 3, if you're going to try to get on the keyboard and start doing some stuff, you really need to find a table.
Yeah.
I had to go to the table.
Like
you
lap,
have
it's
to.
Just not
can't
good.
Do it.
But it's better than the original on the table. Like the keyboard's a little more spaced out. Like
what would it be like?
It's comfortable.
What would it be like docked to that Quad HD monitor that I have?
Because
that could be the solution is, hey, if I need to go get a little work done, I've got a little dock. I can make a little dock station in there and bloop. What did it do?
I don't remember if it pushes QHD or not.
I can't remember how it handled it.
I know it won't do 60 hertz for sure, but...
Because I loved it as... I have my little spot where I sit and read in the morning and try to check up on all of our articles and check stats and that sort of stuff. It was great for that, but as soon as I needed to go actually write an email or like do something, it was...
But the
5 was better for that for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like you can sit down and do some work and like be productive for a little while on that, so...
Yeah.
You should give it a try.
Yeah, I will. I will.
It's a great dart scorekeeper.
It is a great dart scorekeeper.
I just set it on there.
It is true.
Yeah.
It's got a great screen. Screen's awesome.
Golden tee. I just set it on there and we use it to keep score for darts.
Yeah, it's perfect for that. Okay, let's talk through a couple other devices. Gabe, do you have one that isn't your top of the list that you still want to mention?
Yeah, I think the 714 is my number two, and I think that's just because Acer, what is this? This is the fourth iteration if you count all the 713s.
Yeah, if you count it in the 713
line. So if you count it as the successor to the 713, this has just been their consistently great device that they sell at Best Buy. It's middle of the road price-wise, but it is the most well-rounded. It always has a little better processor, sometimes a little more storage, and just the overall build quality of the chassis and everything. If someone said, hey, I got $700 to spend, $650, or right now $479, yeah, which is amazing.
Crazy sales lately.
But, you know, $500 to $600 to spend, I just want a solid Chrome OS device that I'm not going to have to worry about it lagging or freezing up or anything. That's going to be it. It's that Core i5, 8 gigs of RAM. You don't have to worry about anything.
Yep.
Oh, it's got storage. The pen, too.
Yeah, stowed pen, yep. 256 gigs of storage. Exactly.
Keyboard,
16 by 10
screen. Great screen, yep.
A lot of people gave it a hard way to go because it, you know, they like the screen that's in the 513 and then the previous 713. It's that 3x2 quad HD-ish screen.
Yeah.
And so this is more of a 1080p plus. But honestly, on a screen that size, you don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to get above 1080p until you get past 14 inches.
I agree.
Once you get a 15.6 inch screen with 1080p, it's like, if I look hard enough, I can see the pixels a little bit. So that would benefit from quad HD. But, you know, if it's 13, 14 inch screens with 1080p, like, they're sharp.
Yeah.
They look good. Yeah. So all you're doing is asking for more pixels for no reason. And I think the workaround there is to get quad HD screens. I mean, then nobody can really complain about that. But, you know, these manufacturers are going to work with the pieces that they have.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you look at the gaming Chromebooks, for instance, I would bet money that the panel, the display, 120 hertz display panel that's in the Lenovo and in the Acer are the exact same panel. Like,
right.
They look exactly the same. They're the same dimension, the same resolution, the same hertz, the same RGB color
Should
space.
Should we all take them apart?
Good. I do want to crack the Acer open and maybe add some stuff to it.
Oh, boy. Here we go. What? And we're going to break some Chromebooks.
No, we're not.
No, we're going to be about... Don't. Nobody heard that.
But, yeah, I agree. The 714, people gave it a hard way to go early. And I'm in the review, I said this. I'm like, I don't know why people don't like this Chromebook. Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And even the bezels on it are awesome. Like, it's convertible with a really small bottom bezel. And
it was weird because it kind of pioneered that aspect ratio and screen size for Chrome OS to the point where I feel like it has a cult following almost.
Yeah.
And I think that made a lot of people mad. But
yeah, because they want that. The 713 out was always like... You can pay a little bit less and feel like you got a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, and they cut corners clearly on all the 713s. The keyboards were always pretty bad.
Yeah.
The trackpads were always really good, but the keyboards were not great. The build quality was... The last 713 was pretty good. I still feel like the 513s actually have a better chassis than all those before. But, you know, I think it was the fact that you got great internals and a really nice screen in a convertible device. And so,
and that's because people will look at that, and it's right there. Honestly, it and the HP X360 are always like those two devices. They are the main flagship consumer devices. The price gap between them is $30, but to me, the value gap is huge. The Acer beats the HP. Until HP starts putting better screens in their consumer Chromebooks,
it's
not even a conversation.
And
that's not to say it's bad. It's just it's apples and oranges because it's an i3.
Right.
You know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, 714 all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to refresh the X360 14C. They've done 2 years in a row.
Three.
And so, I mean, like, just put... Use the same chassis again. It's a gorgeous Chromebook.
If they come out with a 12th... Do they have a 12th gen yet? Mm-hmm. No. If they come out with a 12th gen and it has the 250-nit screen and we're going to find somebody from HP...
Fight people.
We'll slap them.
Like, oh, just get it to
like, 3. Do you not read Chrome Unbox?
Get it to 3 or 350.
There's some 320,
310 into it.
That would be great.
So go the Acer route.
Because it does have a little... Acer always... The 713s, 14s always kind of have those angular... A little bit like the CX9. The HPs always feel a little more MacBook-y, flatty, and that device with a better screen and 16 by 10, it'd be a little bit of a different story.
Yeah. Yeah. It has decent...
Don't raise the price, though.
HP has fantastic keyboards on that level of device. Great trackpad. Like, it's always done a lot of stuff right, but I can't get past a 250-nit screen.
HP needs to come out with a Chromebook that has literally the best speakers of any device ever on the market.
I know, because, just shut us up.
Because... What was that first one? We're the original HP Chromebook
13. Tired of hearing Chrome and Box complain
about
this.
The first time they did the Bang & Olufsen branding with the big grill on the top. And they're like, audio by B&O. And I'm like, this sounds like trash.
I love that Chromebook, though. I was watching something. You remember that one? That was one of the last videos I did for myself. Super duper thin silver HP Chromebook. It had
real
high res screen on it. Yeah,
was the speaker across the top. Yeah.
So it had kind of the weird hole pattern at the top. It was dope.
Yeah.
I like that Chromebook a lot.
So I'm gonna guess your number one.
I think everybody listening should, by this point, if you've been paying any attention to me at all in the last couple months, should know what
I don't know, because I'm thinking it's gonna be the one that he's been hoarding for himself. Or it's maybe, I don't know if it could be, if you were to look at the entire year, I don't know if you would maybe go with the other one.
He is in possession of his favorite Chromebook right now.
The Chromebook I'm using, or that I'm putting on top of this, is the one that I just like the most.
Yeah.
Right.
All not
right.
the one that statistically is.
So 516G, yes, absolutely. Obviously. Okay.
And that's why I said earlier, like sometimes you look and think, oh, my perfect Chromebook would be blah, blah, blah. And, well, my perfect Chromebook would probably be convertible and probably not be 16 inches and probably come with a touchscreen. Yet, this one doesn't do any of those things. Yep. And I just love this Chromebook. And it's even a little bit thicker than a Chromebook I would normally like.
It's not unwieldy.
No.
It's not, but it's heavy.
It's bigger, but it's firm. Like, that's the big difference. Like, I picked the, no knocking the Lenovo Chromebook, the gaming Chromebook, or their... They've got like the Flex 3 or whatever. They're big. It was another like 15.6 inch.
Yeah.
It feels the same. And when you put that big of a Chromebook and it's all plastic, it's just going to be bendy.
It's a little bendy.
It's going to be bendy. And so Acer's doesn't feel that way at all. It feels firm, but it's also under 4 pounds for a 16 inch Chromebook. It's light. The keyboard's interesting. Not the best keyboard, but it's one of the better Acer keyboards I've typed on. Trackpad is perfect. You know, it's got a great solid build quality. The screen is obviously jaw-droppingly delicious. You know, 120 hertz, 16 by 10 quad HD. Like, it's, man, it's so fun to work on. It just does everything right. And great speakers, not the best. I do think Lenovo speakers might be a little bit fuller. And oddly enough, the Asus gaming Chromebook, the only thing I think it gets right is its speakers. But I think it's got the same ones. The CX5 had the same speakers on it.
Yeah.
Like, my wife has the CX5 at home, and every once in a while she'll turn on a video. I'm like,
whoa, sounds good.
That is just such a great Chromebook.
Those are such good speakers.
That's like the original CX5, right?
Yeah, the one that came out at CES.
Velvet and white. Yeah. Oh, man.
And that gaming Chromebook's basically that.
Yeah.
Is the white outside, the black inside?
Yeah. Oreo cookie one. They're not on that level because those speakers are just fantastic, but they're really good.
Yeah.
Like I play Apex on it just with those turned up, and it's the stereo separation's great. Like I can tell where people are coming from, and it's really engrossing. The stuff Acer's doing with their webcams right now is fantastic. Like when we hop in our team calls and stuff, like when
they're
I have
doing
that
like the noise reduction,
temporal noise reduction
and flare reduction, all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't think the cameras are that much better. I just think that they've tweaked some stuff for their cameras. They always look great. I just love it. I love that Chromebook. I love that I hook it up to my 120 hertz display, and it's as bright as my big display is, and it's 120 hertz across the board. And I love it. I love every bit of it.
My Linux tablet there will only push 60 on my monitor.
60 hertz at 720p.
No, it's pushing the full resolution. It's just, it will only push 60. It won't take it to 75.
Yeah, ARM ones, they just artificially limit it, I think.
I am installing Apex Legends on it right now.
There you go. The 516, though, is interesting because it shows like what you value most in a device, right?
I think it does.
And
it,
it's like,
it just kind of identifies that stuff without me having thought about it. I'm like,
No,
apparently this is what matters to me.
Right.
You know,
and I think that's fascinating. Like you said, you might put together a checkbox list of what you want out of the perfect device. And this doesn't have all of that, but it has really top of the line things that you value the most. Right. Great.
So
screen,
clearly the
know.
Screen's a big deal to me. A good enough keyboard is important, but it doesn't have to be the best for me to be okay with it.
Yeah.
And a great trackpad is important.
That's so weird. Because
being super fast is important to me.
That's so weird because I did not know. I stay docked most of the time, and I'm usually running whatever the most powerful device in the office is because I'm usually tinkering with Linux and stuff. I didn't realize that those are the same things that matter to me because I've ended up, we have devices that are more powerful than the Elite that we have here. Okay. It's an i5, 11th gen i5. It's plenty powerful, don't get me wrong.
That's 12.
Is it? Mm. All right, well, 12. Do we have other devices? Oh, you have the Acer and the Framework. Acer and
Framework are both a little bit more powerful, but not much.
But I always say I don't really care about touchscreen because I don't, unless I'm using a tablet, and I don't use my convertibles as a tablet, and I'm usually docked. But since I've started using the HP, I went back to it the other day off of the Acer because I've realized when I'm at home and I do need to do some work at home, that trackpad, I freaking love it. And the screen's really great too. I mean, it's a good screen, but
HP's great.
I can deal with a not mediocre
great all yet, things.
I can deal with an okay keyboard as long as it's got some okay travel. Because Acer's keyboards, I used Acer's Chromebooks for so long. Their keyboards have good travel, but their keys are always really loose and jiggly. The HP just overall, absolutely
the Elite's the Elite's trackpad or keyboard is next level. But HP's keyboards just in general, like whatever keyframe they've got that they just dole out to all their stuff is.
But I would never, excellent. And I would have never in my life, if I had gone out to buy a Chromebook, I really wouldn't have considered the HP because it offers so much stuff that I don't really think that I care about. Right. But I'm like, there's a lot I really like about this Chromebook.
And it's got great speakers too. The quad speaker setup sounds awesome. Like it's superlative. It is. It is a superlative device across the board.
And I did miss my fingerprint sensor. I'm glad that's back.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. And it's funny, if you go watch the video, Robbie kind of goes through a checklist of like, does it have this? Yep. Does it have this? Yep. Does it, you know?
I mean, it's the no-brainer of like the best Chromebook you can buy. But again, when you said like what matters, like when we went out to California for that thing, well, guess what Chromebook I took with me? I took the GE because I knew I was going to be sitting at a table and that was going to be my only screen. Well, guess what? That 16x10, 16-inch screen feels like a freaking workstation. And I can slide it in my bag and it's not that much heavier than other stuff that I would carry. Right. And the battery life is pretty good because it's probably got a pretty big battery in there.
Did you take the Dragonfly out to California?
No, I think I was still using the CX9, I think.
I think so. I'm
pretty sure.
And the Dragonfly, to me, the only negative thing for me with it is it's just expensive. And so sometimes that, to me, makes me not want to fall head over heels for it because then it's like, you know, well, nobody's going to ever buy this thing. Like, it's not. So what's the Chromebook that everyone would like or that everyone can afford that's reasonable? I'm only using this thing because it was given to us. I'm not going to go buy it.
Right.
Like, what, am I really going to go buy this thing?
Sure.
Like with the Pixelbook, yes. The answer was yes. I went and bought it because there's still something special about that.
Yeah. We got to get one. That's the thing with the HP. If you take the HP Dragonfly that's comparable to the Spin 714, so i5-8128, it's what, $1,200?
Mm-hmm. No, that's I did get it knocked down with all the discounts and everything down like $871 for the Core i3 8128. That's more reasonable. But yeah. The i5's at least $1,200. At least $1,200.
So you're saying, you know,
actually, it's $250. The Acer's $256. It's 8 gigs and $256 storage. Yeah. So I guarantee it pushes it up over $1,300.
So let's say $1,300 for that version of the HP. The HP is great, and you're going to love using it.
Yeah.
Is it $700 more greater? Right. I guess is what you say. Right.
Is it next?
More better.
And it's, you know, and it's next. Also, when you know
you have disposable income, you don't care, then absolutely buy the HP.
Right.
And I like your point too about just the value proposition. And when we're recommending devices to people, are we being as helpful as we can be if we're sitting here saying this Chromebook has all the bells and whistles, this is the one you need to go buy?
Cost a fortune.
Obviously there are people out there that have bought that device and probably love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have the money to go buy that sort of device, but the value proposition is always,
and that's funny because that's a revelation I had this year. We've had more Chromebook deals this year than ever in history because there's more Chromebooks, and Best Buy carries so many Chromebooks now. You know, 5 years ago they had 10. Now they have somewhere around 60.
Yeah.
But I used to get writing deal articles can be so mind-numbing, but I was writing one the other day, or I was doing a roundup or something, and it occurred to me, I was like, I worry that sometimes people are like, oh, more deals, but when we started Chrome Unbox, the whole purpose was to benefit people that love Chrome OS.
Right.
And presenting value proposition in a device, because sometimes we'll write a deal about a buddy device, you know, it's a cheap device.
Right.
Is it worth the deal that we're sharing? Yeah, absolutely. Because if it's a buddy device and it's cheap, but we still wouldn't buy it or recommend it, then I'm not going to share it. So for whatever reason, this year, 2022, I got all excited about writing deals again, because I'm like, our readers should know this. People should know this. This is a good deal. This is a, you know, the Lenovo's gaming Chromebook, their higher end one's $800. Would I recommend that to someone? Absolutely not.
Right.
Last week, you could stack some deals with Rakuten and get it for $485. Would I recommend it at that price?
Completely different conversation.
All day long. Yeah. And that's beneficial to people. So, yeah. All about the value proposition.
So what's your number one?
Where's Joe?
I don't know. He left.
Yeah, I was torn because I haven't really used the framework. I love the idea of the framework.
I wanted to put it on there just because, but I'm like, I haven't really gotten to use it.
Yeah, but for me, I don't know if that's more of a novelty thing or not, but I think I just talked myself into the HP. I think that might be my favorite. So
it's fair. I mean, and again, it's just, I don't know. At the end of the day, like, there's not going to be, you're not going to get a Chromebook with that much hardware in it and it be cheap.
No.
It's just, that's silly to think of.
I was waiting for a cut where Gabe wasn't talking so that I could cut to this camera. Or Andrew, future Andrew could cut to that camera. I'm back.
Like, he just left.
Gabe, shut up.
We need to have a sign language.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
Need a remote.
But yeah, I don't know. It feels like that Chrome OS is in just this weird spot because we don't have a bunch of high-end Chromebooks coming out right now. And
right.
So I feel like that's going to change. I feel like we're on the precipice of another shift again. So we've got LumaFusion kind of coming out. Where is that right now? Is it still in some sort of beta or is it full-blown out?
Pretty sure it's still beta.
It's still beta for sure.
So like once it's fully available and they're like, hey, you have to have XYZ specs to run it, like that's going to push a few more people, I think, in the consumer space to want the $700, $800, $900 Chromebooks, maybe just for that purpose. As Steam games roll out of this beta status they're in and get ready to go, where they're actually ready. Like some of the stuff I've tried still is real broken, you know, and this is a huge lift for them. So, when the time comes where I can install Steam and run most of the games that I want to play with this, well, that becomes a consideration now. Right. And so there become now a few reasons, like, hey, if you want to go get high-end hardware, because they're not going to make an HP Dragonfly Elite with all this cool outer hardware and a Pentium Silver inside. They're not going to do that. It's like they're not going to build a Ferrari with a four-cylinder inside. Like, it just doesn't work that way. And so, you know, it's once you start adding all that stuff, a haptic trackpad and a fantastic keyframe and great screen, and that stuff's all expensive. And then we're doing alloy frame, and then we're going to do the magnetic charging stylus. And like we've added all the features on top, we have to put big processors inside too. So all of that stuff comes along with that agreement, basically. And so it's like, okay, well, what if I want all of those things, or what if I want all the outer stuff, and I just want to be like a normal Chromebook user? That's a weird space to be in because there's most of the Chromebooks in the mid-range have trade-offs.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like it's going to change. I feel like that's where hopefully Intel gets that way too, because their lower end processors are getting really, really good.
Yeah.
But ARM could be
the
poster child of that.
Change in that way too. And so I think all that stuff's going to shift. Like, I think we're going to come back around to seeing more high-end Chromebooks in the consumer space to use these applications that are there for it. Like, when there's no need for a Core i7 12th gen with 16 gigs of RAM, like who needs that actually? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
general
seriously,
consumers, if you're buying a Chromebook, you understand the limitations of the OS.
Yeah. Now,
like, why do I need to go? If the Celeron's enough to do what I need to do, what I'm going to do with it, but I want those features the HP has, but I also don't want to pay for all of that hardware on the inside. So like, it's in a weird spot. But all of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, if I get that hardware now, I can have Steam games, and oh, I can edit like 4K video and actually create content from this in this way with this device. okay, well, it probably is worth me going and upgrading to that. Yeah. You know, if that's the type of thing I'm going to be doing on my Chromebook. So,
and that,
I think it could change
the upgrade. And that's the thing is, like, we've always talked about, like, the Pentium Silver and Pentium Gold devices. That's kind of a weird spot because, like, your Pentium Gold devices are really good. Like, the Flex 5i that has a Pentium in it, it's a great device. It's more than powerful enough for your average consumer, but the price is so close to those Core i devices that it doesn't make sense. And we always thought, well, those devices need to drop back down in price. But I think what's really going to happen is that the value of Chrome OS as an ecosystem is going to increase.
You can get done.
That those higher end devices, the prices will go up, and those Pentium devices will make more sense at $400 and $500 than they do right now. Because right now they make no sense at $500. So,
and then we won't have to continue defending value proposition of Chromebooks, because it's really difficult to. Because people want to look at it from a very function. I get it. They want to look at it from a functional standpoint and be like, "Hey, why would I spend $1,200 on that HP when I can't edit 4K video on it right now?"
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I get that. I do it's understand that. The counter argument to that then becomes, this is a device for people, and it's right what I was just saying, that I live in Chrome OS. Like, I live and breathe in Chrome OS. This is how I operate, but I also want the nicer hardware bits. I want all the stuff on the outside. And so I can't get that without going all in on an HP, for instance. And so, you know, like, I think we'll see some separation up in the top end a little bit again this year, because it's kind of been constrained, I think, for the last 18 months.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, last year, we didn't have too many high-end devices either. I mean,
I hope we see some stuff at CES. That would be nice.
Me too. It seems like we are.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Based on some emails. Yeah. It seems like there's going to be some stuff.
So, so that's the wrap-up. And
hey, well, you didn't say your final Chromebook. Like, what was your high-end one?
Yeah, so I think
you talked about
number
right?
one, your top pick.
Yeah, so I think the tablets are great. I think if somebody needs a tablet, if they want that sort of device, those are just a great option. Love what Lenovo's done with those. But I think for me, the top of the list has to be the Acer 513.
Okay,
just because of the ARM processor that's inside and the 1380. I know I'm just a good old fashioned copycat. That's what
so
it is.
I said mine first. I'm gonna get mine out of the way so it can't be taken.
The idea of an ARM processor that's that capable, and I think it's the M1 guy. Yeah, if as someone who's edited video, like crazy massive, you know, projects and Final Cut and 4K RAW, you know, S-Log video, and seeing what an ARM processor is capable of, what S-Log,
M1, S-Log,
M1, S-Log, and throwing it on
Niner,
40 like,
uh-huh,
fiber, The 1380 obviously is the first time we're kind of seeing that device, that processor
in ARM
in a Chromebook, and I think once we start having more options as far as video editing and other things you can do with Chrome OS. That's exciting to me, and I think the future for video editing could be on an ARM chip.
Yeah,
you know? We need Chromebook. To do. Awesome. I know you still have to work with LumaFusion, but we need to do a head-to-head.
Yeah, sure.
We'll do the exact same project on that and on a Chromebook.
So, I mean, it was
and see what happens.
Absolutely,
I know.
It'll be fun to at least try
LumaFusion on both of them.
Yeah,
at least.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
No. I mean, do Loom, because you can do LumaFusion on the M1 Mac.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea of the 1380 and the future of that, and getting a device maybe that has some more RAM and some more storage down the road with that 1380 or the next version of whatever the 1380 will be, and once we have more options for video editing and you know, just more graphically intensive things, I think that's exciting for me. And so and then also, I mean, just the 1380 right now as it is, I think it's just a great device. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I loved filming the B-roll of that, and the screen is fantastic. Thin and light, no fans. It's just it's a nice device. So yeah, I think that would be top of the list for me. Yeah.
Cool.
Copycat. Can't help it. Is what it is. It's a great device. Okay, so just kind of quick recap. Let's see what we've got at the top of our pile here. We've got
12. I mean,
yeah, we've already got 12.
Right.
I mean, you've got a great selection there. But the ones we've talked about today, Duet 3, Duet 5.
Yep.
Spin 513.
Yep.
516 GE. Dragonfly.
Yeah.
I think those are the main ones.
Oh, and Spin 714.
Gabe mentioned the 714 as well. Yep. That's right. So there you go.
All great,
great
devices.
Great devices. I feel like we've got a device on here for everyone. Depending on what you need, clamshell, convertible, tablet, we've got you covered.
Price range,
yeah. So go check out the article, go check out the video if you want some more details on this stuff. But I think that's it for this week. We appreciate you all tuning in and listening and watching. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure to give us a thumbs up if you like this. If you don't, then leave a comment and say
I'd just stick around this long.
Leave a comment and give us some feedback if you didn't like it. if you made it this long and you don't enjoy what you're watching, please leave us a comment.
Yeah,
just let us know what we could do better
or explain to us how you got here.
Yeah, not sure why you would do that.
How did you last this long not enjoying this?
I mean, my wife wouldn't watch this long.
Right?
So. No.
Yeah. No, so, but if you did like it, give us a thumbs up. Go down there and click subscribe, and make sure to ring the notification bell down there in the corner so that you get an alert when we put out future episodes. But that's it for this one. We'll catch you all next week. See ya. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.